The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." The man replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, so Jesus said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm going to say to you this afternoon what I say to the good people at Green Spring every once in a while. We do the next Sunday's Mass at the Friday Mass at Green Spring, and sometimes I haven't really had a chance to get a homily to come together at that point, so I'm like, here goes, we're going to do our best. They're very patient and good to me over at Green Spring. But this past week I was at a conference all week long, and I really had intended to get this homily together during the week, and also the homily I gave for the Lord of the Miracles Mass, bilingual Mass, this morning. I did get that one done, but I didn't get a whole lot of work on this. And so here goes, as I say to the people of Green Spring. I would like us to begin to think about the Word of God in a broader sense. Of course, we know that the word that God speaks is his only begotten Son, and the word becomes flesh and dwells among us, this idea of word. But a word cannot exist without a breath that carries it into sound. There's a breath that has to form that sound, and then the word can be heard. Otherwise, it's just word. It might be on a page, perhaps, but it's not alive. So what I want us to do today is to think about this gospel in such a way so as to really meditate on what is happening. And I want you, in this particular sense, meditating on scripture, I think, is one of the most interesting. You find some wonderful discoveries. I think it's even fun. You place yourself into the story and you listen to what is being said as if you were really there, as if you were really that person or Jesus or whoever it might be. You begin to feel the feelings that he would have, because they're feelings that you have in response to the word that you hear. It's a form of Lectio Divina. When words are read on pages, I believe they go to your brain, from your eyes to your brain. But when words are heard, they go from your ears to your heart. That's why the whole thing about Bible study is great. I think it's good that people are getting to know the Bible, but the Bible is not a textbook. The Bible is the Word of God that is given to us with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that whatever you might be reading, it doesn't matter, the content, the breath of the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you the words that God wants you to hear. It may have nothing to do with what you're reading. You have to read it out loud, though, because it has to come in through your ears. So let's look at this gospel today. It's one of those gospels that is, I think, really beautiful. This man runs up to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus turns to him. Jesus, of course, knows his heart, right? He turns to him and he lists all the commandments. You have to do all these things. And once you have accomplished all of these things, apparently Jesus was saying, that's enough. This is what you have to do. Good job. But the young man seems to feel that there's more. I want you to put yourself into the place of this young man. And even if we could say we have accomplished and followed all the commandments since we were young, imagine how good that would be if we could just say that. But to be able to say, now what more do I need to do? It indicates a kind of insight that could only be a gift from God, that there's something else. What he is doing is he is actually making the connection, the bridge between the Old Testament and the law and the New Testament and faith. What must I do? Do I just need to follow a bunch of rules? Because you see, the law only brings about discipline. It doesn't bring about love necessarily. It's discipline. And you have to do your best just to try to follow the commandments. But what he's talking about is something that goes beyond law. Imagine yourself in this situation talking with Jesus and understanding that there is something more beyond just what has gone before in the past. Jesus is now standing right in front of you. And you are filled with a kind of love, a kind of desire, because Jesus is looking at you with love. Because Jesus sees in you the understanding that there is more. Jesus loves this moment. Jesus looks at him and loves him. Jesus looks at you with love. A lot of people are uneasy about this. I was talking about this with somebody in confession this afternoon. I mean, I wish I could just put everybody's hearts at ease. They come to the confessional, they're trying really hard to give a good confession. And they say, I just know there's a lot more bad stuff and I just can't think of it right now. That, my friends, is called Calvinism. That is the understanding that human beings are mortally flawed and that it took the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus to cover us so that we can possibly have any chance at salvation. Martin Luther, who I really like in a lot of ways, I think he was a good man. Martin Luther really believed that the grace of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, was like a gentle snow that covers a pile of dung. That's us, the pile of dung. And the grace of Jesus is like a gentle snow that makes it look nice. But still at the end, we're just, you know what? I don't believe that. And Jesus knows that's not true. But this young man, he has this kind of thing, doesn't he? I mean, no matter how good you do, we are conditioned to still see our shortcomings. That's not what Jesus wants. Jesus sees his love. Jesus sees the Holy Spirit working within us even when we can't. that Holy Spirit that we received at baptism. And with that Holy Spirit at baptism, the law is finished, and faith steps in where the law once was. It's no longer discipline. I like the combination of these words. It's no longer discipline, it's discipleship. They're connected, but one is passive, or at least receptive, I suppose. But discipleship is that commitment, that choice. I talked about this so many times. Is it commitment? What's the other word I always use? I can't think of it right now. But it's a kind of a... Well, it simply means, are we here just to follow the rules, or are we here to take the love of God and do something with it? So Jesus gives them this challenge, and it's a hard one. And his disciples didn't know what to do with this either. They're like, Lord, who can be saved if we're not supposed to want to have stuff? Jesus says a rich man can't get into heaven. How hard it is, he says. He doesn't say he can't. How hard it is. Because the things we have tend to take first place in our lives. So what Jesus is telling the young man isn't that he necessarily has to become poor to give it all away. I mean, I had a dear friend, Monsignor Heron, in the seminary. He died shortly after I was ordained. We used to travel together, and he used to have several sayings that I'll always remember. But one of the things he said is, wealth is not like a sausage. You can't just cut it up and hand everybody a slice, because then it's just gone. And everybody ate their slice, and now it can't do anything. Wealth is opportunity. Wealth is the possibility of discipleship in most cases. People who can't support that kind of activity need to rely on people who can help them to do it. So he's not saying you must become poor, but he says you must be willing to give everything, all of that away. And come follow me, he says. This is a hard thing. How many times have I walked away from the Lord when he has given me a difficult assignment? But it's a matter of time, isn't it? The gospel, by the way, the gospel doesn't say that the man never came back. And many exegetes of the gospel say that this young man in this story, because it's the gospel of Mark, and it's the only place this story shows up, may have been Mark himself, who was a rich young man. Perhaps even his family owned the upper room where Jesus had friends. You know, remember, he had friends that he said, go into the city and find this place. Mark, who was highly educated, put into this place so that he would be able to write the first of the Gospels. The others came along later. So it doesn't say he didn't come back. It's just that he was struggling with this reality of a difficult assignment. But if we come and follow Jesus like he says, the assignment is not difficult. And we realize he's not asking us to give up everything we have, but rather to receive everything that God has to give to us.